Another cup of Maxwell House coffee, George?
Sure, pour me a cup, Gracie.
You know, Maxwell House is always good to the last drop.
That drop's good, too.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, Gail Gordon, and our happy postman, Mel Blanc. For your Thursday night comedy enjoyment, it's George and Gracie. And for your everyday coffee drinking enjoyment, it's Maxwell House. The coffee that gives you so much more for so little more that it's bought and enjoyed by more people than any other brand of coffee in the world. Yes, Maxwell House, expertly blended and radiant roasted for rich, mellow, extra flavor. Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop. Have last month's bills arrived at your house yet? Or does your husband still speak to you? When I dropped by the Burns house this morning, Gracie was wondering how to break the bad news to George.
Oh, Bill, I'll have to get George in an awfully good humor before I let him see these Christmas bills. How can I do it?
Well, let's see. Well, hey, wearing one of those slinky lace negligees ought to please George.
Oh, no, he'd look terrible in it.
Gracie, I meant for you to wear it, not George. Put the bills on the table and stand beside him in your negligee.
It'll never work, Bill. We've been married too long.
What do you mean?
Well, he'll notice the way the bills are stacked, not me.
Oh, you're wrong, Gracie. If George has got an ounce of blood in his veins, he'll... Yeah, I see what you mean.
Well, I guess there's just no way that a wife can present her husband with a bill and make him like it.
Not true, Gracie. My mother did it, and Father was happy as a lark.
Well, she must have presented him with an awfully little bill.
No, I weighed 8.5 pounds.
You know the kind of bills I mean. Now, come on, help me think of something.
Well, maybe you could put George in a good humor by fixing his favorite food.
That's right. The way to his heart is through his chest.
No, it's through his stomach. You slipped up.
It's through his chest. That slipped down.
Well, anyway, Gracie, what does the little man like to eat?
Well, he adores hot biscuits. You know, he still got the first biscuit I made after we were married.
Really? He saves funny things.
Yeah. He's also got the first tooth he lost after we were married.
Why does he save the tooth?
He can't get it out of the biscuit.
I see.
Of course, I can make wonderful biscuits now. George just drools when... Say, I've got a great idea. I'll fold the bills up real small and bake them inside the biscuits.
Oh, then when he takes a bite, he'll discover the bill.
Right. With a mouthful of biscuit, he won't be able to scream so loud.
Well, it's a screwy idea, Gracie, but it might work.
Oh, anything to soften the blow for my darling George.
You really love that little schnook, don't you, Gracie?
Oh, yes, Bill. When they made George, they broke the mold.
Well, better late than never. So long, Gracie. I hope your plan works.
The biscuits are done. Now, let's see. This one has the May Company bill in it. This one has a Saks bill. This one is the Broadway. And this one... Uh-oh. Here comes George. I better soften him up with a little flattery before lunch.
Hello, Gracie.
Oh, Georgie boy, you're home from school.
From school?
Oh, forgive me, dear. You look so young, I always think of you as going to high school.
I don't look like I go to high school. College, maybe.
Ah, your handsome face is ageless. Your noble brow, your classic features. They look like they belong on a Greek statue.
Gracie.
Sometimes I'd swear your head was made of marble.
Well, old Marblehead is hungry. Hey. You got biscuit.
Yeah, try one.
Okay. Boy, that was good.
You swallowed the whole thing?
Yeah.
Well, that takes care of the May Company.
Huh?
They can't send a collector after that one.
What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing. Here, try the Broadway. I mean, have another biscuit.
I'll break this open and put some butter. There's a piece of paper in here.
Uh-huh. There's one in each of the biscuits.
Oh, I get it. Like the Chinese tea rooms. My fortune isn't these biscuits.
You're so right.
Well, I'll open all of them.
Yes, dear, and I'll run get you the ice bag.
Ice bag? I feel fine. I don't need any ice bag. Just pass me those biscuits.
How does the ice bag feel, darling?
Okay.
Here, I buttered some more aspirin for you.
You buttered the aspirin?
Well, as long as you were eating it like popcorn, I thought I might as well butter it.
Gracie, look at that stack of bills. How could you buy that many Christmas presents? Where did you find them?
Oh, I just opened up my charge account and there they were.
And you figured I'd...
You pay for
all
them.
Of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the bills are in my mouth. Yes, that paper. Well, you're out of luck. I'm going to stop being the goose that lays the golden eggs.
You mean you're going to stop telling jokes on the radio?
Never mind. Now listen to me, young lady. I'm going to tell you a thing or two from now
hello.
On.
Oh, hello, Meredith.
Meredith, What would you do if the person you married spent money like a drunken sailor?
Well, in the first place, I would never marry a drunken sailor.
Meredith.
Though at one time I was quite friendly with a sober wave. She picked me up one night at the Palladium.
She picked you up?
Yes, I fell down while attempting to jitterbug, and she picked
me
up.
Yes. Meredith, I want you to hear...
Well, one thing led to another, and before I knew it, that wave had me in the back seat of a taxi. During the war, I was a sucker for a uniform.
Oh, Meredith, you didn't even know her.
I know, Gracie, but I felt that I should be kind to her. After all, she'd been fighting for me.
Look, Meredith.
But no sooner were we alone than she became quite amorous. Oh, she wasn't to blame. I was attractive, and she'd been at sea for a long time.
Meredith, when you came in, I asked you one simple question. All I want you to do is answer that.
Gladly, George. Would you state the question again?
What would you do if the person you married spent money like a drunken sailor?
Well, in the first place, I would never marry a drunken sailor.
Look, Meredith.
Though at one time I was quite friendly with a...
Goodbye. Goodbye, Meredith.
Missouri Waltz. You know, Meredith, it may be 1947, but music like that makes me think that underneath it all, I'm still an old-fashioned guy.
Because you like it?
Mm-hmm.
No need to apologize for that, Bill. Liking waltzes has always been in the very best American tradition, and it still is. With old favorites like the Missouri Waltz jingling the jukeboxes today from Seattle to Scranton.
Yes, like sparking your girl on a Saturday night, the waltz has been tested by time and never found wanting. Grandfather was swinging his partner in waltz time when bustles and high-button shoes were the height of fashion. And 100 years from now, you can bet that the waltz will still be expressing the romance and sentimental gaiety that have always belonged to our American scene. Makes me think how Maxwell House coffee truly belongs to the American scene, too. Here in America, we've actually made coffee a national drink. And more people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee at any price. It's Maxwell House wherever you go. Flavor explains this nationwide preference. The rich, full-bodied Maxwell House flavor that results from the masterful blending of these premium Latin American coffees. Manizales for mellowness. Medellins for richness. other choice coffees for vigor. And Bucaramangas for full body. All adding up to great coffee at the peak of flavorful goodness. Friends, why not know the very best in coffee drinking pleasure? You can for just a fraction of a penny more per cup than you'd pay for the cheapest coffee sold. Just make yours Maxwell House. Always good to the last drop.
Gracie, suppose you start explaining these Christmas bells. Who got this $25 hat?
Oh, I gave that to Clara Bagley. I've decided to break up our friendship.
And why did you give her an expensive hat?
Well, I have one exactly like it. And when she sees me with it on, then she'll stop speaking to me.
There must be cheaper ways to lose a friend. Here's a bill for a bushel of nuts delivered to San Francisco. Who'd you send those to?
My mother. That was your own suggestion, dear. Every time I said, what'll we send Mother, you said nuts to her.
I should give your mother a bushel of nuts. What'd she ever give me?
She gave you me. I'm as good as at nuts.
You can say that again.
I'd rather not. I didn't like the way it sounded.
And you got this chromium chair with the plastic seat for whom?
Oh, my brother Willie. He's building his own house with a GI loan, and he's crazy about antique furniture.
A chromium and plastic chair isn't antique.
It will be by the time the house is built.
How about this necklace? Who got that?
My sister Bessie. She needed it to hide her appendicitis scar.
On her neck? An appendicitis scar is on the stomach.
I know, but Bessie was so ticklish they
had. They had to operate up the ass, I see. You made that up.
Well, I was just trying to amuse you.
Well, I'm not amused. Those relatives of yours they're costing me a fortune. Here's a bill for a pair of earrings.
Oh, well, now don't scream about those, George. I bought those for one of your relatives.
Who?
Your wife.
I might have known. What do you expect me to do about these bills?
Write out checks for them. Here's the special fountain pen you use for paying bills.
Special fountain pen for paying bills?
Yes, it writes under protest.
Well, I got news for you, kid. I can't pay these bills.
Why not?
Because there's not enough money in the bank.
Oh, don't be silly. It says right on the window of the bank there's over $12 million in there.
I mean, there's not enough money in my account. And if you overdraw your account, you can be put in jail.
Oh, dear. Well, don't you worry. I'll figure out some way to settle those bills. Well, George, everything is fine. The Christmas bills are paid.
Really? What did you do?
I used my head. You said the bank could put you in jail if you overdraw your account.
That's right.
So I wrote the checks myself.
What?
Well, they can't put me in jail. I haven't got an account there.
Oh, no. Gracie, it's even worse to write checks when you have no account at all. Now they'll put you in jail.
You mean I'm a juvenile delinquent?
You'll be worse unless you get those checks back.
But the checks are in the mail.
Well, then you're just out of luck.
Oh, look, here comes the postman. He can save me. He can get those checks out of the mail.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail.
Oh, Mr. Postman, I'm in terrible trouble. And you're the one who can help me.
Oh, I love to help damsels in distress. Just as Sir Galahad rescued Guinevere from the dragon, I will rescue you. Is your husband a dragon?
A little, but he's tired.
Yes. How can I help you, Mrs. Burns?
Well, by mistake, I put some bad checks in the mail, and I want you to get them for me.
Oh, I dare not tamper with the mail.
But, Mr. Postman, if I don't get those checks back, I'll go to jail. What if your wife were in a spot like this? You wouldn't let her go to jail?
You say such humorous things, Mrs. Burns.
Oh, please, can't you think of some way I can get those checks?
Your only chance is to stop them when they come through the bank.
Oh, well, do you know anyone who works at the bank?
Not now. My wife Bertha worked in the escrow department when I married her. Now I guess they just call it the S department.
Why?
I took away the crow.
Mr. Postman, that gives me an idea. I'll go down and get a job at the bank myself, and then I can grab those checks when they come through.
Well, good luck, Mrs. Burns, and remember, keep smiling.
How do you do? Are you Mr. Vanderlip, the president of this bank?
I am.
Well, I wonder if you'd do something for me.
I suppose you'd like me to authorize you a loan.
I would not. Just because I'm alone, don't think you can authorize me.
Madam.
Do I look like the sort of a girl who can be authorized?
But I didn't
have... You won't. I didn't come in here to be insulted.
But...
Or authorized.
Believe me, I meant no harm. What is the nature of your business?
Oh, well, I'd like a job in your bank.
I see. In what department?
How about the check room?
Check room?
I want to get my hands on some checks. I mean, I like to handle checks.
At what bank were you previously employed? Naturally, I can check your record at any bank in the United States.
I worked at the Bank of England.
Bank of England?
Pip, pip.
Were you a teller?
Not me. I jolly well kept my mouth shut.
Madam, I do not believe you were employed by the Bank of England.
You don't, huh? Well, just ask me some banking questions.
Very well. What would you do in the case of an overdraft?
Close the transom. Next question.
Suppose we cease this masquerade. You obviously know nothing whatever about banking.
Then I don't get the job?
No.
In that case, put up your hands.
What?
This is a holdup.
You have no gun.
Oh. Well, let's get back to the job.
Look, I'm a busy man. What is this all about?
Well, I've got to recover some checks I wrote on this bank. You see, I haven't got an account here, and my husband says I'll go to jail.
And so you will, unless something is done. Perhaps I could authorize you a loan.
There you go again.
Madam.
When you get a girl alone, that's all you think about, authorize.
Madam.
And it's your age.
Madam. Please.
Never. I'd rather go to jail. Goodbye, you all authorize it.
No.
One of the most familiar melodies on the American scene, among my souvenirs. Meredith Wilson and his music.
Now, let me get this straight, Mr. Burns. You want to take all the money out of your bank account and open one for your wife.
Yes. Then those checks she wrote were clear. That is, if you'll lend me $100 to go with it.
Oh, glad to lend you $100. How about collateral?
Why, Mr. Vandalip, I've never needed collateral. I've gotten where I am today on my face.
I believe you. Shows considerable wear and tear.
Well, all I need is $100. I'll pay you back right away. Why, a man like me can make $100 in no time.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burns.
Oh, Mr. Vandalip.
Yes, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, hello, Bill. Yes. Say, Bill, tell Mr. Vandalip how quick I can make $100.
Oh, no time at all, Mr. Vandalip. His next birthday ought to do it.
Oh, fine.
Mr. Vandalip, I'm about to make a withdrawal from my safe deposit box. May I have the usual 3 armed guards?
Of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Gee, Bill, you must have a fortune in that box.
Oh, I have.
Could you lend me a little?
Oh, sure, George, all you want. All right, guards, put the box down right here.
Boy,
I'll open it. There. Now, George, how many pounds do you want?
Pounds? Bill, what have you got in there?
Maxwell House coffee, of course. What do you think I'd keep in a safe deposit box? Junk like diamonds and money?
Well, I made
Maxwell House is rich, delicious, mellow. The result of careful selection and blending of choice Latin American coffees, radiant roasted to perfection. More people buy and enjoy Maxwell House than any other brand of coffee in the world.
But, Bill, what I need is money.
George, what good is money? Can money buy happiness? No. Can money buy contentment? No. Can money buy a new car?
No.
No.
But it can keep Gracie out of jail.
Out of jail?
Yeah. She wrote some bad checks, and unless I deposit some money for her, she'll go to jail. So you can see why I need more than coffee.
Oh, you're not kidding. You need donuts, too.
Huh?
If Gracie goes to jail, you're going to starve.
Bill, I don't need any donuts.
Oh, you're right, George. Yes, Maxwell House is delicious all by itself. Why, it's the very best in coffee drinking pleasure, yet it costs but a fraction of a penny more per cup than the cheapest coffee you can buy. That's why so many millions of Americans insist on Maxwell House. These days, they know today's coffee buy is Maxwell House, the coffee that's always good to the last drop.
Well, okay, if you don't want to lend me the money.
I'll lend you the money. Here, help yourself. Take all you want.
Gee, thanks, Bill. Now, Gracie won't have to go to jail.
Good.
Hey, just to teach her not to sign her name to any more checks, I'll let her think she is going to jail.
Well, George, that's cruel and inhuman.
Well, it's just to scare her. After she's learned her lesson, I'll take her in my arms and give her a big kiss.
But, George, that's cruel and inhuman.
So long, comic.
So long.
So that's it, Gracie. You've broken the law, and now you must pay the penalty. Pretty soon a detective will come and get you.
Oh, I hope it's Humphrey Bogart.
I mean a real policeman. And then you'll have to go down and appear with the district attorney.
Oh, wonderful. I've always wanted to be on that program.
Gracie, you're not taking this seriously. There'll be a trial with the judge and the jury, and you on the witness stand. Do you realize what it means to be cross-examined?
Oh, sure. I cross my legs and the jury examines them.
Gracie, stop joking about this. You know where you'll wind up? Tehachapi.
Gesundheit.
I didn't sneeze. I said Tehachapi.
Tehachapi?
Tehachapi. That's where women go who make mistakes.
Oh, I thought they went to Reno.
Gracie, Tehachapi is a woman's prison. And take it from me, that's where you're headed.
Are you serious, George? Am I really going to prison?
You bet. When you commit a crime, they send you up the river.
Oh, but it was such a small crime. Couldn't they just send me up the creek?
No.
Well, how long will they keep me there, George?
About 30 years.
30 years? My goodness, when I get out, I'll be in my 40s.
Yeah, easily.
Well, you'll come see me on Visitor's Day, won't you?
Every Thursday.
Oh, well, I'll look forward to those moments. I'll put my hands through the bars and run my fingers through your hair.
Yeah.
Let it grow long and hide a file in it.
Nothing doing. You'll stay there. And I hope it teaches you never to sign your name to another check as long as you live.
Oh, it will, George. 30 years in prison.
Yep. Tehachapi.
Gesundheit. Oh, that's where I'm going.
Mm.
Well, there are a few last things I want to do before they take me away. Wait here for me, sweetheart.
Okay. Poor kid. I'm really teaching her a lesson.
Well, I'm back, dear. All my errands are done.
Hey, what's in those packages?
Well, you said I was going to prison, and they wear nothing but stripes there. So I went to Magnin's and got a lovely striped suit and striped dresses and striped bags.
Gracie, you didn't.
Well, sure, so I'd look my best. If I must go to prison, I don't want to disgrace you.
Gracie.
I'll be the belle of the cell.
How did you pay for those things?
With a check.
But you promised you'd never sign your name to another check. You said you'd learned your lesson.
I did learn my lesson. This time I signed your name.
Oh, no.
Join us again next week when we'll all be back. George Burns, Gracie Allen, Meredith Wilson and his orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Goodwin. The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show is written by Paul Henning and Keith Fowler. Until next Thursday, good night and good luck from the makers of Maxwell House, America's number one preferred brand of coffee.
Always good to the last drop.
Well, Gracie, now you've really done it. Signing my name was forgery.
Is that bad?
You're just heading in one direction, kid. Tehachapi.
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit, oh. I knew that. Good night, everybody.
And now stay tuned in for Noah Webster Says, which follows immediately over most of these stations.
Syrup for that old-time flavor. For log cabin syrup does your pancakes a favor. A delicate blend of maple and cane. Serve it once, you want it again and again.
You bet you will.
What a wonderful breakfast thrill is log cabin syrup in the morning.
Yes, log cabin is America's most popular maple-blended syrup. With sugar short, the supply is limited. But you'll never get it if you never ask for it.
Log cabin syrup in the morning.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.